We continue to discuss the distinction between the Nedarim and Shavuos, which was, as we have mentioned, a Neder represents an Issa Chefza, and a Shavua represents an Issa Gavra. The Mefarshim, in trying to explain the difference, say as follows. Issa Gavra represents the Kedusha of a person. A person has in him a Kedusha, and the Torah, especially members of Klal Yisrael, have in them this Kedusha, and the Torah demands that individuals with that Kedusha act in a certain way, and included in that is that they may not eat certain foods. So the Isser of eating, for example, something not kosher, emanates from the Kedusha of the member of Klal Yisrael, and a person with that level of Kedusha may not partake of something which reduces that Kedusha. And Issa Chefza is the other way. The Issa Chefza is you infuse the item with a certain level of Kedusha, and by infusing that item with that level of Kedusha, you say, now it's us to me, just like Kachim. And that's why, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, Nedarim work without Fasa. What are you matfis? You're matfis bedover like a carbon. And you're saying that this item should now be infused with Kedusha. Rav Shimon Shkop explains it this way. When we speak about an Issa Gavra, he says, or verses an Issa Chefza, he says, when we speak about a Neder, the item in discussion was previously mutter. You now make a Neder, so what have you accomplished with making the Neder? You're taking an item which was previously permitted for you to eat, permitted for you to have hanor from, and you're making it usur. You've changed the item. Whereas by Issa Gavra, you haven't changed the item. It's your relationship to a previously existing item that is under discussion. Actually, this question has a very relevant perspective. And that is, after we have a clear understanding of what Issa Chefza and Issa Gavra means, it helps us understand when the Torah speaks to us and tells us not to eat certain things. Should we look at it as an Issa Gavra? The Torah is speaking to you as the person, that's the first pshat. Or the Torah speaking to the item, that's the second pshat, which would be nafkamina, is an Issa Chefza or an Issa Gavra. There is a very fundamental machloikus. The Ran, Tosfos, all the Rishonim on our Amid discuss the following situation. If, as we have been explaining, there is a fundamental difference between a Neder and a Shvua. A Neder is an Issa Chefza, a Shvua is an Issa Gavra. So what would be the halacha if someone would say a Neder b'lashon Shvua or Shvua b'lashon Neder? It should inherently not be effective because they work so very fundamentally differently. And that is indeed what the Ran says here after explaining the Gemara that a neder is a nisa chefza and a shvu is a lashon gavra. However, the Rishonim ask that there are a number of stiris to this halacha. The Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph later in Amsechta quotes a brisa. The brisa says Eze Isser, which means what is the case of a neder Homer b'Toyra that the Torah refers to. Amma hareini shloyecha basim shloyesh the yayin kiyom shebeis by aviv kiyom shemeis by rabbi kiyom shenaher by gedali ben achikam kiyom shurisi yishlaim becher bonai. So in all these cases, the brisa begins asking what is the proper wording of a nether, but it describes isagavus. There's a gemara in Masechta Shavuos that wants to describe what is a shvua, a Gemara Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Achila Mishtein Alai. So he's speaking about the object, and the Gemara describes it as a shvua. So if we're saying, and as the Ran explains, that a neder and a shvua are so fundamentally different, how could these Gemaras teach us that a neder b'lashon shvua or shvua b'lashon neder is effective? So the Ran wants to suggest that the purpose of those Gemaras are not to teach us the proper wording. Indeed, the wording of those Gemaras are misleading. The purpose of those Gemaras is to teach us the concept of Nedarim, the concept of Shavuos, but not the accurate wording. And therefore, the opinion of the Ran is that a neder b'loshen shvua and a shvua b'loshen neder, even midrabbanon, is not valid in any way. There are those that suggest that even though midaraisa, as we just explained, it's not chal, midrabbanon, it is chal. And Poshup Shat in those Rishonim is that, and we'll read the words of the Shulchan Aruch in a moment, is that those Rishonim opinion are that because people don't really recognize the difference, so Chazal wa machmer the midrabbanon, even if you said a neder b'loshen shvua or you said a shvua b'loshen neder, it should not be effective. There are Rishonim, the opinion of the Ramban, that if we learn at the beginning of our Masechta, in the Mishnah, or the Gemara actually, teaches us that the Gemara and the Mishnah teaches us there's a concept of Yad l'Neder, Yad l'Shvua. So when you set a neder b'loshen shvua, a shvua b'loshen neder, it's no worse than a yad. This approach, actually, is a much more serious approach than the approach that we just mentioned a moment ago. The approach that we mentioned a moment ago agrees that midaraisa, it's not a valid neder. It's only saying that midrabanan, people shouldn't come to be lenient with nedarim. We're going to treat this l'chumra. This opinion holds that it's not a neder at all, that it's a full-fledged neder. It's a full-fledged shvua because it works as a yad. I saw from Rabbarach Sirotsky Zatzal that he explains the Machloikus Rishonim, because actually it makes sense, this opinion of the Ramban. If a yad, which the simple explanation of yad means it's like only a handle, is considered an effective language to make a neder or shvur, why should this be any worse? So he explains the machlokes rishonim as follows. When we say a yad is effective, what does that mean? Does that mean that even though you used an abbreviated articulation of your intent, that is effective? Or what the halacha does is that even though you only made a partial statement, the halacha completes your phrase. If we're going to say that a yad means, says Rav Baruch Sorotzkin, that even a partial statement is adequate, then here too, this yad neder b'loshen shvur, a shvur b'loshen neder, is not worse than a partial statement. But if we say, what does a yad mean? That a yad means that even though I only made a partial statement, the halacha completes my sentence. The halacha completes my phrase. Here, there's no incompletion. When you said a neder b'loshen yad, b'shvur, or shvur b'loshen neder, incompletion is not the issue. Wrong articulation is the problem. And that a yad doesn't solve. It's very possible that that is actually the question of the Gemara that we learn later on Daf Hey that discusses the machloikis if you need yadayim mechichas or yadayim she'ena mechichas. It could be that if you hold that what a yad is, that a partial statement is adequate, so even yadayim she'ena mechichas would be considered a yad. But if we say that the pshat of a yad is that the statement is completed, it could only be completed if it's mechiach, that's the way it ought to be mechiach. Another way of understanding this is Rav Chaim Brisker has a question that if a yad, does a yad require your machshava, that your machshava should be evident as well? If we hold that a yad needs that your machshava should be there, here we have a problem. If a yad doesn't require machshava, so neder b'loshen shvur or shvur b'loshen neder would be effective. There's a fourth shita in the Rishonim that differentiates between a neder b'loshen shvur or shvur b'loshen neder. A shvur b'loshen neder is effective. A neder b'loshen shvur is not effective. And what's pshat in this distinction? A shvur could be effective when we speak about a shvur could be effective when we speak about a chayfetz. If somebody says he's making a shvur that he won't sit in the sukkah, since that shvur is effective, so that's why every shvur carries with it an element of cheftza as well. A neder only has in it a cheftza. But really, this debate is connected to something that we discussed earlier. And that is, there are rishonim, we said, that say that every neder also has in it an element of nisagavra. If we say that every neder has in it an element of an issagavra, then the halacha would be that if you use the neder b'loshen shvur or shvur b'loshen neder, it would be effective. If, however, we say that a neder is strictly a neder and a shvur is strictly an issachevtza and a shvur is strictly an issagavra, then there is no room for overlap between the two. And as we said earlier, even though this subject is discussed so extensively here by the Rishonim on our Amid, it's not mentioned in the Gemara. But the Yerushalmi in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, right at the beginning of Masecht in the Dorim, actually says that it's a machlokes. Rav Yehuda, Rebbe, Rav Moni Savri, says the Gemara, Ein neder b'loshen shvua, v'ein shvua b'loshen neder, and Rav Yossi disagrees with them. So actually, this question is a machlokes in the Yerushalmi. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Nedarim, Simin Reish Vav Sif Hei, says as follows: Hanoyde Shloi Oichel Osha Oichel Imav. So you said a neder, but you expressed it as an Isagavra. Afilu Yadloi Havi, says the Shulchan Aruch in the first opinion, that's not even considered a yad. The loshen zeh loshen shvu hu v'loy loshen neder. He sang a shvu and he meant a neder. Im loy shenod alasas mitzvah. By mitzvah it's different. However, says the Shulchan Aruch in this first opinion, as we mentioned earlier, mi kivin da idnu meragla b'pumayi de inshi lemin da b'hai lishna. This is a common mistake that people make a shvu b'loshen neder and a neder b'loshen shvu ein lehekel. If somebody made a neder or shvua this way, one should not be makel. V'tzorach hatorah, and if he did make a neder or shvua this way, he has to be matah neder or matah shvua. K'dei shloi nagel kals roish nedarim. So it's a chumrah derabbanan. V'yesh mishaymer, continues the Shulchan Aruch, the neder shaymer b'loshen shvua, v'shvua b'loshen neder, mahani midin yodos. This is a much stricter opinion, and therefore it would be effective if midaraisa. However, the Pesach Tshuva, in explaining this opinion, quotes a Noi de Behuda that this opinion would be will only be in a situation if the object, we're talking about an object that's tangible. Because as we explained earlier, a neder is an issa heftza. And because a neder is an issa heftza, a neder could only be effective when we have a heftza, when we have an actual item in front of us. And therefore, in order for it to be even a neder b'loshen shvua, we would have to have a heftza. Otherwise, we can't even consider a yad. So the Noi de Behuda is actually saying a very interesting, it turns out to be a very big kula. Because if we look at the Shulchan Aruch, the first opinion is much more lenient than the second opinion. The first opinion is saying that really a neder b'loshen shvua or shvua b'loshen neder is not effective. Only because kadesh l'yan nagu kalus roish, Chazal wa machmer. The second opinion takes a different approach. There's no chumris. It is or it isn't. It's a yad. But in a case where it's not going to be able to be a yad, because every neder needs a chayfetz, and if you have no chayfetz, you have no neder, so therefore it would not even be osur midrabon. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Yabia Omer Chelik Ches Simen Chof in Yerudea. He discusses the following situation. He speaks about a situation where there was a woman who was not well, and as we're going to learn in our Gemara, in our Masechta, about making a neder be'ez tzara, about making a neder based tzara. So she made a neder that she will not watch television. She doesn't want to have a television in her home. That's the kedusha she wants to accept upon herself, because Baruch Hashem, she got better. Her husband refuses to renew the television from the home. He says it's important for him to have that opportunity to view television. And the question now is,
can this nether, can there be hatara on this nether? So Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal in that tshuva looks at this question from two perspectives. One perspective he discusses is, can a nether be'ez tzara be annulled? He says a very interesting concept from the Chassam Sofer. He says that if somebody had a favor, if somebody gained something from someone else, and he made a nether to that person, you can't be mad to that nether. And the reason you can't be mad to that nether, he explains, is because it's not a nether that only involves you. It involves another person. The question is, when somebody makes a nether to a Kaddish Baruch Hu based on sorrow, that also doesn't only affect you. It, so to speak, affects Hashem as well. But of course, there's a very big difference between our relationship Ben Adam L'Chaveri and Ben Adam to Hashem. People need each other. Hashem doesn't need us. Hashem is Kol Yochel. And therefore, it could be that a nether-based sorrow can have a Torah. So that's one issue, which is not the issue of today's Shir. But he discusses, and that's what's relevant in today's Shir, that when he started speaking to this woman and started asking her how exactly, what was the wording of her nether, he discovered that she made a nether b'loshen shvuah. And as we are now discussing, certainly the opinion of the Ran and many Rishonim, that is that a nether b'loshen shvuah is not a nether at all. So therefore, even if we'll hold that that this is a nether-based sorrow, and we'll follow the opinion that a nether-based sorrow doesn't have hatara, maybe this nether was never effective in the first place because it was a nether b'loshen shvuah. So he says it really depends on what opinion of the Shulchan Aruch that we just learned we follow. For he explains, as we just learned, the Shulchan Aruch gives two reasons why we should be machmer by a nether b'loshen shvuah. Is it because of chumrah d'rabbanan, that people should not k'dei shlo yinagu kalus rosh b'nedarim, or is it because it's a yad? Says Rav Avadya Yosef, if it's only a chumrah d'rabbanan, k'dei shlo yinagu by kalus rosh, so as much as that's a d'rabbanan, and as much as the Shulchan Aruch quotes this opinion, and as we said earlier in our shir, it's actually the opinion of Rishonim. It's shalom bayis between this husband and wife probably would be more important, and we could therefore be mapped to the nether. If, however, we follow the second opinion, where it's a full-fledged nether, like the Ramban says, because it's considered a yad, then we wouldn't be able to be matter that nether. So Rav Avadya Yosef says, since the Shulchan Aruch brings down the first opinion, Stam, and the second opinion is brought down as a Yesh Misha Omer, so it says that whenever you have the halacha quoted in such a way, it means we should follow the first opinion. And therefore here we follow the first opinion. Therefore here, given that Poshet, we follow the first opinion, that a nether b'loshen shvuah is only a chumrah d'rabbanan, that it's an effective nether. Coupled with the fact that there are opinions that say that you could be matter a nether, even a nether that's made based tzara, given also, obviously, that we have a situation of shalom bayis, combining all of these factors, he allows to be matter that nether.